Welcome back to Trends in Low Places, a comedic exploration of the dumbest stories of the day. I'm one of your hosts, Mike Cushing.
And I'm the R2-D2 to his C-3PO, Michael Howard.
You know what? You know what's funny?
Wait. Beep, beep, boop, boop, beep,
beep, beep, beep, boop, beep, beep. You big trash can. Fuck you, you blue bastard. You know what's really funny, Michael? When you said, I'm the R2-D2, you know me, I'm a pretty big nerd. I know Star Wars pretty well. As soon as you said C-3PO, my brain went completely blank, and I was like, what's his deal again?
What does he do?
What's Goldenrod? That's what Han Solo calls him every once in a while. Yeah, I can't even talk. My brain went completely blank. I had no idea what C-3PO did.
Happens to me in a very particular game that we play at improv, where each person says one word of a story.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one word you have to come up with. You can say literally anything. It doesn't have to make sense. But every time it gets to me and I have to say a word, nothing.
Ham.
Words are not in my... I'm just like...
Ham. It's my only word.
So, the reason I say R2-D2 and C-3PO is because the French fencing people have decided that they're going to make lightsaber fighting an actual sport now.
Okay, wait. So, the French fencing people.
Correct. Yes.
Is that their official... I know, like, we say CERN, but, like, they have a weird fancy name for it. So, I mean, I'm sure it's, in French, just a delectable treat when you say it out loud, but...
French Fencing Federation.
Oh, okay. The triple F. Yeah, of course.
I don't know. I mean, this is an English website. They didn't...
So, why did they decide to... I'm going to go ahead and say legalize lightsaber fighting. I know they didn't necessarily legalize it, but that's the word I'm going to choose to use for it.
Well, Serge Abayi... who is the Federation Secretary General, says, with young people today, it's a real public health... With the young people... No, that didn't work either.
No, lean into it. Be more offensive.
Hold on.
Oui, oui. With the young people today, it's a real public health issue. They don't do any sport and only exercise with their thumbs.
Okay, so I was gonna... So, in... This is how advanced France is. How, like, are either advanced or just simply far, far behind. Two, one thing I did think that he was going to say, well, the young kids today, to reach them, it's all about lightsaber dueling. That's how you reach the youths.
That's basically also what he's saying. He's saying it's difficult to get people to do a sport.
True.
Just they can get off the sofa when you can just play video games. But everyone loves lightsaber fighting.
I mean, that's true. That is true. But again, I guess only in France. My point is that the sport that they choose to get kids off the couch and into is fencing.
Yeah.
It's just some real Three Musketeers horse shit. That's all they've got.
Have you ever fenced?
I have lightsaber fenced.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is they are like, hey, no one wants to fence anymore.
Yeah.
You know, what if, though... Though we have lightsabers,
mm-hmm.
We can fight with those instead. And now we're the coolest people on the block. We just went from fencers who suck
mm-hmm.
to lightsaber duelists who are amazing, clearly, as Lightsaber Kid taught us.
You know what I'm going to say here, though? I think of all the unintended consequences of this, a Lightsaber Kid should now be... I think he was Canadian, too. So, like, he obviously is a national hero and, like, well before his time.
For sure.
And... finally, all of his ridicule is finally worth it. I mean, that's great.
I mean, what is kind of odd, though, is that it took 8 movies.
Yeah.
Where they started in, what was the first one? The 79, 78?
77.
Something like that. So it took them approximately 42 years to be like, huh.
You know what's cool?
The kids these days.
These dang kids.
Apparently, they actually were and make sounds, too, by the way.
The actual, like, the lightsabers that you can, mm-hmm. I mean,
that you fence
Michael,
with.
You go to Dragon Con, you can get yourself, for, like, a cool $180, like, I almost said functional lightsaber, and that's not quite true, but, like, for all intents and purposes, functional lightsaber. Two things. One, I feel like this is going to have an unintended ripple effect on crossword puzzle writers, because they love throwing epee in a fencing sword. But, hey, guess what? Now it's lightsabers.
Lightsaber, that's way longer.
Mm-hmm. Now it's kyber crystals. What are the fuels for traditional French rapiers? Kyber crystals. Did I ever tell you about the time that I think I was like 10, and it was before a baseball game, and my cousin was outside the dugout taking swings with his bat, you know, kind of warming up like you do. And then I noticed that of a sudden his bat started taking on less of like a horizontal plane, and it was, there were a lot of vertical swipes and then a lot of weird wrist movements. And yeah. I asked him, "Hey Dan, what are you doing?" And he said, "Oh, it's the lightsaber fight from Empire Strikes Back."
Oh, like an actual, like an actual choreographed fight he learned.
He had memorized Luke's fight with Darth Vader at the, from the end of Empire Strikes Back, and just to warm up for our baseball game, he was going through his motions.
I mean, it makes sense though, because it probably works a lot of the muscles that you don't normally work when you're just swinging around. You know,
get a lot of that wrist strength. Yeah, right. Vastly improved hand eye coordination. I'll tell you that much. So yeah. I'm fully behind this, Michael. I would, you know what? I'll say this. I'll take up a lightsaber for the cause.
Yeah, I mean, if there's a revolution, I will be the guy with the lightsaber.
And can I say this? Hey, fuck fencing. Give me a lightsaber. Oh, you can only hit him with the point. Fuck that. I want to slice his whole chest open. If I had to learn a martial art, it would be lightsaber.
Well, here's the thing, though. Now that they have basically normalized lightsabers as to not just being a Star Wars thing, Star Wars toys, maybe somebody will create a real lightsaber.
I mean, you have to think almost every nerd goes into physics to be like, one day,
that's
one
true.
Day I'm going to find a kyber crystal and make me a laser sword.
That's what actually what they're doing at CERN.
Yeah, all that good work. Cool, the God particle. Who gives a flying fuck? I need to have a 3-foot energy blade. That's all I want.
I feel like you could make a lightsaber, like not an exact lightsaber, because they're clearly like,
because so much of the art, energy, and also so much of the art of lightsaber fight is also the use of the force. I mean, like, to really get the whole, I'm not going to continue this line of thought.
Gotta get all those midichlorians right into your,
just
right into your
shoot
veins.
Them right out of your fingers just into the force zones, and then bleep bloop, I'm C-3PO.
I'm just saying, like, all you would need is like a wire, right? A wire that can curl up into the hilt, and then it extends out and becomes straight, and then you would create an energy field around that and make it glow. They can do that shit. Like a Tesla coil, basically.
And that's gonna hurt somebody, which I am into. Obviously, clearly. that's what I'm here for.
I'm just saying, if I'm gonna have a weapon, why not that one?
I just know that our friend Matt is listening to this, and I'm very much looking forward to the articles he's going to send me about force fields and Tesla coils. And I can't wait about that. I can't wait for that.
How you
Michael,
doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, man. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well.
Nice.
Do anything fun this weekend?
Well, it was this past little weekend. I guess, yeah, Michael, we should talk about it. Valentine's Day passed just recently.
You did?
Yeah, that was... I did nothing, so that was fun. I took Sora to the dog park, and that was...
Oh.
Yeah.
She was your Valentine.
So where was my Valentine? But also, it was... This is... hey, dating. Bumble had an event at this dog park where you pay to get into, so I went and took Sora, and...
That's actually a brilliant idea.
It was pretty good, and the dog park has a bar there, and they had, like, a band playing. Yeah, it's pretty... Like, you have to pay,
like always? It always has a bar?
It's, like, a membership sort of thing, but,
How
yeah.
How much
it's
is the membership, though?
I don't. It's like $10 a month or $20 a month.
Oh my god! I would be there all the time. Even if I wasn't bringing a dog, I would just go there and hang out with all.
It's
of
actually
the other dogs.
That's what I keep telling all my friends who don't have dogs. Like, you should just go and hang out because it's a chill bar. But so we got in there, and Sora walked in, went about 20 feet, and then went to stand by the door, just to the gate. She just didn't want to be there, and obviously I was there to find the love of my life. So I made her stay around, and I had her on her leash, just in her harness, and I got approached like every 10 minutes by staff there. It's like, is your dog aggressive? Is that why she's on the leash? I was like, no, she's just old and kind of over it.
She's just really over this whole situation.
Yeah, so. And then I sat on a chair and Sora jumped into my lap, and we just hung out like that for about half an hour, and then I went home covered in dog fur. So that was my Valentine's Day. How's yours?
Mine was similar, yeah.
Oh, okay, good.
I made some spicy seafood pasta.
Okay.
From Mario Batali's Molto Italiano cookbook. I'm going through all of the European accents. That was Italian.
Can I say this?
Check that one off.
Killing it.
Molto Italiano. It was delicious. I made mussels and clams for the first time. That was pretty fun. It was one of those things that I always thought was difficult, and it's not. You just throw them in a pot and you steam them, and then they're done.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah. So that was fun. We did some fondue on Saturday.
Nice.
Good times.
Sounds like a very romantic little getaway for you.
We started this like a long time ago. I think when we first moved into South Carolina, we were like going out for Valentine's Day sucks. It's the worst.
It's the like, GD worst.
Price fix menus. They're trying to pump you out in like an hour and a half so they can fit as many people in as possible. You're paying more for everything. And like, it's just not even remotely romantic. So we basically decided like, we're not doing that. And so we just make fondue, cheese fondue, and then some chocolate fondue.
Nice.
And it's like, it's amazing. It's the best Valentine's Day. I highly recommend everyone to just stop going out to dinner and just cook something really stupid easy like fondue.
Oh, sure. Once again, millennials kill Valentine's Day. Thanks, Michael. Not on my watch. Not this holiday, this most sacred of holidays. No, thank you, sir. Not on my watch.
I'm coming out like the anti-Cupid. Just shooting my arrows.
Shooting an actual gun. Well, that sounds lovely, Michael. That sounds very nice.
Mm-hmm.
So, I came across a question on No Stupid Questions on Reddit that I do want to ask you about, because it's definitely something I've done in my life. I don't know if you have. We've never talked about it, I don't think, but it's kind of like a self-love, self-care kind of thing to me. Michael, have you ever partaken in a shower beer?
I have tried to, but like, I just end up drinking a watered down beer because like, it goes there. Like, there's no good place to put a beer. I don't have a good beer shelf.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, it is hard. Like, unless you're properly equipped for it, you're going to get water in your Mick Ultra, which, hey, no one wants that.
No one wants more watery Mick Ultra.
But it's kind of, I mean, it's obviously very similar to drinking in a hot tub, which...
Yeah, but it's not splashing around, though. You know?
Right.
A tub beer or a tub glass of wine? Now that I'm into.
So that's where I wanted to get to. So I found this. It was No Stupid Questions. And it says, are shower beers common or did I grow up in a house of drunks?
Yes. The answer is yes to both questions.
And he said, edit, I'm on vacation to some hot springs. So I decided to up my shower beer game and sneak a beer into the hot springs, which that seems fully on point. That is the best.
Oh, we didn't even have to sneak them in Costa Rica. We stayed at a place with multiple hot springs. Mm-hmm. And the bar was just like
right
10 feet away, and you just go get a drink and then go to the hot springs.
It's God's hot tub, of course. I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah. You can't regulate God's hot tub. Get the fuck out of here.
Beat it. So the second comment is, I'm Norwegian and also confused. Are you literally showering in beer? Not that it's anything wrong by that. And she's like,
that would
no.
be a beer shower.
Yeah. But I will say there's always something very nice about an ice cold beer in a hot bath or shower. But I was going down through this thread, and I want to ask Michael, what is the most decadent thing you have drank or eaten in a, I'll just say, bathtub? Maybe not shower.
Does what it have include you hot tubs? Or?
Let's not include hot tub. I think just whenever you're in your personal zone, bathing or showering, what have you brought in?
I mean, probably just the wine.
Yep, done a glass of wine for the
Oh, actually,
the bath.
No, we've probably done like wine and like chocolate covered strawberries. I think one time we rented a hotel room with a jacuzzi tub.
Okay, yeah, that
so,
counts.
So like, you know, your typical like romantic.
Typical romantic sexy times.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
I have a feeling you're going to tell me somebody did something just eating a risotto or something.
It's from Holy Coconuts on Reddit. Not shower beers, but I have definitely had a bath with a margarita in one hand and chicken nuggets in the other. It was a rough day, RUFF, and I needed to use my time effectively.
I mean, I was going to say, like, I would love to eat some, pound some chicken wings, like buffalo chicken wings in a hot tub.
Mm-hmm.
Because the worst part about eating buffalo chicken wings is you get sauce all over the place, like on your shirt, on your pants, on your hands.
You gotta like lick them, and you feel like a 6-year-old because you're licking your fingies.
You're already in the hot tub.
Fine. They're just going elsewhere.
Yeah.
So I dated a girl recently who told me that her move was a glass of bourbon, and then slices of ice cold watermelon.
Okay,
and that seems like a real decadent shower treat that I am fully into.
Yeah. God, I want to do that now.
Yeah. That seems like a decadent treat. I will say a shower beer, and this does come up in this thread similarly. It's like, I've only done it when I'm planning on drinking all day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, or it's like, I have been drinking all day and like, don't want to, but like, I don't know. I did something sweaty, so I don't want to lose my buzz because I'm going to continue to drink. So the shower beer is more of an interstitial, I think.
Do they sell, somebody has to sell shower drinking and eating accoutrement, right? Like,
I mean, there's definitely a suction cup koozie. I know this. I don't own one, but I know it.
Okay. I'm thinking like for bourbon though, like you can get a bottle of beer. It has a pretty small opening, but like bourbon, like what do you put it in, a glass or a solo cup? Like you need some way to keep the water out, right?
It is funny you ask because I did. So the shower accoutrement, I think, is another thing, but I did look up bathtub trays, assuming it would just be like trays for like kids' toys. Nah, fam, they've, the bathtub tray game is much more advanced than one would think. I found one here. I'm gonna send it to you.
You know what I want? I want that? A visor, so that way I can grab the food and or drink, and then I can kind of tuck it underneath the visor, get back underneath the water, and still be able to eat and or drink without getting the water all up in my shit.
So are you envisioning this as a full head visor or just like a under-the-nose beard visor?
No, it would be like over my head because I want to be able to see still. So it would be like a normal just head visor.
Head visor. Oh, I feel like it's going to have to be one of those like creepy like Renaissance doctor masks with like the big bird beaks just so you get full coverage of your
food.
Well,
yeah, I mean, it wouldn't just be a visor. It would be specifically a shower visor. It'd have to be longer and kind of direct the water away from your face. But
okay, yeah.
But then you get the water, the warm water on your head and back and everything, but you're still pounding those nuggies.
Yeah, the nuggies are the big one. So I found this bathtub caddy, I'm going to call it. And it has a place to hold your phone, a place to hold your iPad, a place to hold your glass of wine, a place to host, I don't know, your candle, two Ferrero Rochers, an additional soap thing, just in case you needed more soap in the bathtub.
What is this crystal thing? Is that soap? Or
I think that is a bottle of perfume. I think.
That's yes, the bottle of perfume to spray on yourself while you
I just love that there's bathe? Like a slot for your... I guess it's for a book, maybe. But
it does have an iPad and a phone, in case you're trying to keep track of both.
Mm-hmm. Just in case you need your financial command center in the bathtub, just so you can keep a trend of all the latest trends. Though,
if you could work from home from the bath,
or a hot tub. Listen, I'm just it's a great point. If I had a 2-monitor display in my bathtub or my shower, I would never stop making deals.
Yeah.
I mean, are the Japanese markets open? Good. I'm in my shower for
ABS,
3 hours.
Always be showering.
Mm-hmm. I need this. I don't
ABC,
want steak knives.
Always be showering.
I don't want steak knives. I'll tell you that much. I want that El Dorado. Yeah. Well, Michael, what else you got going on for me, buddy?
Well, speaking of no stupid questions, you sent me a picture of one yesterday that I almost died laughing about. And then me and Rachel discussed how it would be possible for like a half hour.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah. This is what happens when you send engineers things.
Right.
But the notes of the questions was, if kinetic energy is converted into thermal energy, how hard do I have to slap a chicken to cook it?
The answer is real fucking hard, right?
Yeah, I don't know if it's... So the problem is that if you slapped it once hard enough, you would just disintegrate the chicken. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
You'd probably have to slap it a lot very quickly. Because like the problem is like... all of the thermal energy you hit it with would immediately dissipate like pretty quickly. So you'd almost have to be hitting it at a rate that you couldn't do with human hands.
What I'm hearing, Michael, is that what you really want to do is submerge the chicken in water and slap the shit out of the container so you parboil it real fast.
That's actually probably would work. Or like
not the most efficient conductor, obviously, because I remember that from physics.
Or maybe if you dropped a chicken into a huge pool of water and then exploded a bomb in it, that would create a shock wave that would heat up the water as it went through it and then cook the chicken.
Just a light singeing. A light singeing.
Yeah, you don't want to destroy. I think it would be very difficult to get it right to that perfect temperature, though.
I mean, that Michael, that's cooking though. It's all testing and learning. You're just playing with variables, just turning knobs and just seeing. All right, that was a 94% slap.
I just like the image of somebody just being like, slap, like on a table, just slapping the shit out of a full on chicken.
Mm-hmm.
Like not even a plucked or anything, just walking up to a chicken and just slapping it
so hard all of its feathers just go away, and then the bird just cooks
and it's cooked
perfectly. like it's a literal Foghorn Leghorn situation where it's not just the fantasy of him turning into a big walking talking cook bird. It's just you hit him so hard that big dumb idiot cooks and then his beak and eyes fall off and he says some really funny quip on the ground and then you eat him.
I've always wanted to know what the exact right amount of explosion is to completely remove all of a chicken's feathers and just slightly singe it, but it's still totally alive. Like in the cartoons. So like
you're thinking of like definitely more of a force blast situation where the feathers just can't manage it, but he holds up, he stands still.
He's fine.
And the feathers are gone.
The feathers are gone, though.
Hmm. Could God slap a chicken so hard that all of its feathers fly off, but it's physically fine? This question did just remind me, and Michael, you kind of got to it, of that XKCD, like, what if post about what would happen if you try to hit a baseball pitched at 90% the speed of light?
Yes.
And it's just like a millisecond after it has been released from the pitcher's hand, it's developing a like nuclear fireball and just plasmifying everything in front of it.
Yeah, I think that would be the more effective way to cook a chicken would be to somehow accelerate it so fast that it's like, you know, it creates that heat from going through the atmosphere. So maybe if you slapped it really hard, but hard enough to impart a velocity onto it.
To get it like terminal or escape velocity. And like by the time it gets to orbit, it's nicely cooked.
I don't even know if we have to get to escape velocity.
You probably wouldn't want it to because it gets cold up there.
Like maybe you'd have to like arc it up and then it would kind of come back around the earth. And so you turn around and basically catch it on the other side.
It's funny that you said catch it with your hand and like the size of a Cornish game hen, which I am into, and not catch it with your open gaping mouth. Because if I threw a chicken around like so hard and fast that I knew it was going to come around the world and be cooked, I'm not wasting time with my glove hand. It's going right at Mikey's crawl.
I mean, yeah, if it's a tendy, for sure. The problem is the tendy is it's almost too aerodynamic.
You're introducing new variables with the bread coating.
Yeah.
And the egg wash.
Because you have to keep the bread coating on somehow. So you'd almost have to have a screen in front of it. So the bread coating isn't flying off. It's not being pushed off by the air. But the thing in front of it is heating up and creating a radiant energy to heat the chicken.
This is by far the dumbest and best thing we've ever talked about. And by dumbest, I do mean smartest. But potato, potato. Would you eat that chicken?
Fuck yeah, I'd eat that chicken.
Knowing it hadn't been cooked in an oven, but just like, it was good.
I mean, yeah, the chances of getting salmonella at this point are like really slim from an actual chicken. Like most people get salmonella from like more people get like I'm serious. More people get salmonella, I think, from like lettuce at this point than they do from actually undercooking a chicken.
And that's because we stopped regulating how farmers use water.
Yeah.
So, there's a trend in a little place. Well, Michael, you got any other stories for me this week?
Yeah, so have you ever had like kind of a bad breakup where it was just like you wanted to do something really petty to get back at them, or like if you saw them, or like say mail showed up and you just fucking burned it?
Yeah, no, yeah, I haven't done. I don't think I've actually taken full on action. Certainly
but
not destruction.
But you've wanted to, right?
Oh yes, and yeah, we've all had that breakup,
and you know, sometimes you act on it and it's something really stupid and petty. And the other one was like, wow, it's so petty. You're such a dick. But it's harmless for the most part.
Yeah.
Well, this man in Chicago, he took that to a kind of like a quite amazing place. He registered a car in his ex-girlfriend's name. Then he parked it illegally.
That feels definitely illegal.
Okay. At O'Hare, one of the O'Hare parking lots. And
feels
then
like we're bordering on terrorism now.
Left it there. And it racked up $105,000 in parking fines. Mm-hmm. And this woman had no idea about it for like a year. Or 2 years, actually. Sorry.
I have... Obviously, it feels like the angle of this story for us to talk about is the boyfriend. Or the ex-boyfriend. And how low of a human being you have to stoop to do this sort of thing. I want to talk about the parking attendant. I have so many thoughts about the type of person you have to be, or like what the experience must be like of you do your rounds And I assume some of this may be like postal workers might, like letter carriers might get some level of this. Like this feeling like you have your routine, you do the same route. So 687 times over 3 years, this parking attendant at Chicago's O'Hare International Airport saw that car and presumably lifted up the windshield wiper, pushed aside the other 685 parking tickets, and just thought, today's the day. Today it's going to get paid. Today they're going to come pick up the car.
I think at some point, like, it's more of like, hey, I wonder how far this is going to go, right? Well,
they absolutely went through all five stages of grief on this. Like, it's like, no, that car can't still be here.
No.
Absolutely not. Hey, I'll pay these tickets. I'll pay the tow truck to get this thing out of here. And then just like, this is my life now. I'm in hell. This car is my fucking Sisyphean rock. I have to roll up a hill every day. Like, I honestly, I was thinking about it. I was like, this must have been how Ben Affleck felt in Good Will Hunting towards Matt Damon. It's like, I want you gone. Mm-hmm. I love seeing you. But if I'm picking you up 30 years from now, I'll fucking kill you myself. It's like, and can you imagine just like, going to work, knowing that that car would, like, this is my day.
It's going to be there waiting for you.
This is my cell phone lot C day. It's there. Like, you know it. Like, you can mark your calendar by, this car is still fucking waiting for me.
Yeah, do you think they, like, because apparently the law in Chicago says that if a car is parked in a city-owned lot for more than 30 days, it's supposed to be towed.
Right.
But apparently there was an issue with the city of Chicago getting tow trucks into the O'Hare lot because they're technically not supposed to go in there. There's like O'Hare has its own like towing situation.
Right.
And they either didn't care or there was probably some jurisdictional like pissing contest over this 1999 Chevy Monte Carlo that he bought for $600.
Yeah, I was going to say, what's the shittiest car you could buy someone right now? Wait, he bought it from her uncle.
Yes. He bought her from her uncle. Yeah.
Oh, I think
I think that was, how he was able to register it in her name.
Cause it's just on the, like the sales paperwork. It's like, yeah, it's just in the family.
Well, no, because they were still dating when he bought it.
Oh.
They broke up in 2009 and he bought it in 2008. And so it was registered in her name for probably, I don't know, whatever reason. Because he knew that one day he was going to do this. He had this plan cooked up. I don't know.
Yeah, I do like the preemptive buying of, like, prank materials. And by prank, I mean crime materials. Just like, well, one day you're going to break up with me and I'm going to ruin you with parking tickets. So I buy every girlfriend I get, I buy a $600 car from her uncle. And then just kind of wait and see, I guess.
Yeah, I can't date anyone who doesn't have an uncle who's selling $600 cars.
Yeah, sorry.
Really narrows the dating pool.
It's crazy that she includes United Airlines on the lawsuit. Because apparently it's their responsibility to tow the car. What? Why? Huh?
I don't know. I feel like when you sue somebody, especially for something like this, yeah, you're just like, whatever. It's
like add Chevy on there for no reason. Like, they shouldn't have sold the car in the first place.
My uncle's on it.
No one wants a 99 Monte Carlo. No one ever wanted one.
I'm sure. I'm surprised there's not the parking attendant on here. I mean,
why didn't you call someone?
Like, you would imagine that they'd have to say to someone, right? Like, at their supervisor. Or maybe they were just like, maybe they have a certain quota of tickets they have to write. And they knew that this was one that they had. They had one in the bag.
I'm just now noticing, Michael, that this article is from November 26, 2012.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I thought it took this long because I noticed it in there that it was towed in October 2012. And I thought it just took this long for like someone to be like, finally take the case. They're like, all right, we're going to get you your $105,000 back.
I was reading one of those websites, like Tumblr or I Waste So Much Time. You know how they just have like a screenshot meme and it's like, this guy racked up blah, blah, blah parking tickets in this woman's name. And I was like, okay, that can't be true. And so I like searched out the story like I do sometimes, especially if I'm I think it's tilt-worthy. And I was like, I found the story and I was like, holy shit, it's fucking true.
That's, man.
Yeah.
We've all had like the bad breakup, I think. And while, Michael, you asked about petty things. I can't imagine like hating someone enough to just be like, well, you know what I'm going to do?
Oh, wait, I have an update for what happened.
Shoot, hit me.
It was at the same spot in O'Hare for 2.5 years before they finally do it. In April, a judge tossed out Fitzgerald's suit and urged both sides to settle. The city has agreed to reduce her bill to $4,470, and she's agreed to pay it because her license has been suspended over the unpaid tickets, and she can't get it back. Her ex-boyfriend has agreed to make a $1,600 down payment so she can pay the rest of the fines in monthly installments. So he's only paying one third of it?
That is such horseshit that, like, man creates problem. Problem impacts woman to the full detriment of her life. He pays a quarter of it.
It's like, meh, all right, here's a quarter.
Jesus, Creesus.
Yeah.
Well, Michael, you want to talk about more garbage boys?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's all there is right now.
And sums of money that you probably too much for any one particular thing.
Yes.
What if I told you that you could pay $5,000 to hunt Bigfoot with Jose Canseco? And also meet a real alien.
I would ask if they would prefer a cashier's check or a money order. And or if I can pay with Square.
Can I pay with... Yeah, do you take any sort of diner's club? Yeah. Do you take diner's club?
Can I pay in Bitcoin?
Can I pay immediately? Hey, Michael, can I say this? You can 100% pay in Bitcoin to hunt Bigfoot with Jose Canseco.
Is it like $5,000 a person, or could we get a group of people and pay $5,000, like split it 5 or 6 ways, and go hunt Bigfoot with Jose Canseco?
You know, he doesn't say specifically, but if there's one thing I'm willing to bet, like, pretty strongly about Jose Canseco, is that he's looking to cut you a deal on his Bigfoot adventures.
Would you go hunt Bigfoot with Jose Canseco?
Yeah, 100%.
Right? Like, what if it was just you and Jose Canseco, though?
Then no.
You have to rely totally on him for getting through the woods, for all of the equipment, camping, food.
Here's the real important thing, though. I'm just assuming, and like, no details to either contradict or support this, but like, I'm going to say 85% sure that this is just on Ted Nugent's ranch. Like, you just go to also Ted Nugent's house, and Jose Canseco comes out of the woods, and then you... go and hang out with them, which I actually wouldn't pay any money.
No, that, to hang that out takes Ted Nugent. Yeah, you have to pay me $5,000 for that.
But if I don't have to see Ted Nugent,
that's very
and
important.
Like, don't necessarily know I'm on his ranch, I just get to hang out with Jose Canseco, like, pretend punching a Bigfoot in the head later. Not into it.
Speaking of Bigfoots,
well, I do have a tweet from Jose Canseco because it adds important context.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
Come spend the day with me and my alien buddies. Buddies is capitalized for no reason. I'll show you Bigfoot and a real alien called Morgan at 702. And I can't really tell if the real alien is called Morgan or he's telling you to call, like, Morgan at this.
You will see a real alien. Please call Morgan.
So, like, there are two so important things there. And I do want to get back to Bigfoot real quick. But spend the weekend with Jose Canseco for $5,000 cash only. Only five lucky individuals will get a golden ticket. Oopaloopas ain't got nothing on Bigfoot. Travel in his custom RV to authentic alien sightings in proven Bigfoot habitats. Camp out in the Wild West. Tell stories and maybe meet a real Bigfoot. You never know what's going to happen with Mr. Canseco. Food included. Serious inquiries only. So two questions. One, I do like that Jose Canseco has alien buddies. Two, how mad would you be if Jose Canseco tweeted out your phone number with any sort of context erased? Like, I would be so mad. That is worse to me than buying a $600 car and parking at Chicago's O'Hare International Airport.
Who's it says food's provided, but who's providing all of the drugs? I assume there's a lot of drugs involved.
I just assume they're kind of baked into the food.
Mm. Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I'm still in, though. I'm still in for an RV trip with Jose Canseco and some alien buddies.
100%, because here's the thing. Yeah, the RV, the walls, lined with coke.
It's from Miami.
Yeah.
Brought it with me.
Would you rather be made fun of for being a professional baseball player who had a fly ball bounce off his head and over the fence for a home run, or a former professional baseball player who promotes alien road trips and Bigfoot sightings?
Probably the Bigfoot thing.
I'd rather be the Bigfoot guy, yeah.
Because, I mean, the home run thing is really embarrassing.
So it's... Oh, the video is so bad. Sorry, Michael, back to Bigfoot. What do you got for me?
No, I was just going to say the movie with our good buddy Sam Elliott.
Sam Elliott, yeah.
The man who killed Hitler and Bigfoot. It is not out in theaters, or maybe it is out in theaters, but...
I think it just came out this week.
But on Vudu right now, you can rent it and watch it while it's still in theaters.
Can you imagine just the saying. Life that man has led to kill both Hitler, secretly kill Hitler, mm-hmm. and then frame it as a suicide, and then also to come back and kill Bigfoot?
I think the only man who could do it, and I would believe it, is Sam Elliott, though.
Is actually Sam Elliott. Yeah. And I say that even knowing his Parks and Rec cameo where he pretends, obviously, to be vegan. I saw the trailer for this movie, and I just love how just, like, straight and earnest they play. It's like, yeah, Bigfoot's here, and he's spreading a terrible disease, and only one man can go into the wild and shoot Bigfoot, I guess, to stop a virus that's already out? Just kill Bigfoot. Just someone kill Bigfoot. We need a guy who killed Hitler.
It's like you got to kill the host, right? And then all the other stuff dies.
Yeah.
It's like like Independence Day.
I just love the idea. And, you know, obviously this is a fantastical world they've built for me here. But the idea that somewhere in the FBI, someone is looking through the X-Files. And he's just like, well, I know about this guy who killed Hitler. And I also know that Bigfoot is real. Now, I have all the might and armor of the U.S. military at my disposal, but I have a hunch that this guy who killed Hitler would also be up for killing the Bigfoot.
Well, I mean, they're loners who are hiding out in the woods or the bunker or a cave of some sort. And
but he killed Hitler as a young man, a young buck full of vim and vigor.
Well, sure, but now he's hardened. He's world weary,
mm-hmm.
and he just doesn't like Bigfoot. Maybe he's the one who went out and was like, hey, I don't know if Bigfoot exists, but if he does, you better let me fucking kill him.
I mean, okay, well, first of all, let's not pretend like that person doesn't exist and that people don't actively hunt just in case Bigfoot shows up so they can kill him.
That's a good point.
Because those people 100% exist. It's like, oh, yeah, I just hunt for subsistence. I go out there and, get rid of those nuisance deers and also to kill that big hairy man beast, the Sasquatch.
If Jose Canseco actually did come across Bigfoot, do you think he would wrestle him?
100%. Or just do heroin with him. I don't know.
I mean, both could happen, I guess.
Actually, I didn't mean heroin. I meant smoke peyote. Because 100% Jose Canseco would do that.
Well, okay, so a lot of people go out into the woods and smoke peyote and think they saw Bigfoot. What does Bigfoot see if he does peyote out in the woods? It's like, oh shit, guys, look in the lake. It's the Loch Ness Monster.
Mysteries untold. Just all he sees all universes unraveled before him. He walks through time, both backwards and forwards. The Bigfoot is the ultimate master of all dimensions when high on peyote.
Yes.
Here's my thing about this. The big reason I think Jose Canseco does not know Bigfoot or his alien buddies. I don't think there's a world that exists in which Bigfoot sees or meets a Bigfoot, and his first instinct is to better pull together 5 rubes from the internet who want to pay me $25,000 total and just go chill with my big friend Bigfoot. He would punch it in the head as hard as he could. There's no world in which Jose Canseco exists and meets Bigfoot and doesn't immediately try to kill it.
That's a good point. I want to know who Morgan is, though.
I do. I mean, hey, can I see this? I got their phone number. We can call Morgan right now.
Yeah, but it's only for serious inquiries, so we have to at least show them that we have $5,000 ready, $5,000 cash ready to go.
What the fuck do you call me if not a serious inquiry? 702.
Can we
37,
please
43735? What do you want to do, bud?
I want to give number.
Oh, come on, Jose Canseco, not a valid number.
Man, maybe it's already filled up. It has been 6 days.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm just saying, I would try to make a deal. Be like, hey, Jose, I got $5,000, but it's me and my friend, and we're going to do a podcast on the road.
He would 100% right? give us a discount. Yeah, no doubts about it.
Like, we have hundreds of followers, Jose. Don't worry about it.
Possibly, like, 200 to 300.
Possibly.
Maybe 700 to 800 if we mention Juggalos.
Yes. Sorry, we're gonna take. It's me, my friend. I'm bringing my Juggalo buddy, just in case. Because if shit goes down, I want him to take care of Bigfoot for me. Because not that I don't trust you, Jose. I do, kind of.
I've seen Scrubby Josh wrestle, and can I say this? I want him there to take on the Sasquatch.
So $5,000, you bring me, my podcast co-host, and Scrubby Josh, and we will fight Bigfoot on air.
Let's be clear. We won't, but like, can
we won't, but we will be Josh, on air.
Josh, feel free to message us with the answer to this, and like, not this time a video of someone getting their butthole tattooed. But answer me this, and Michael, feel free to chime in. If Scrubby Josh suplexed Sasquatch, does that make him, like, I can't say king of juggalos, but like, he's definitely like a knight, right? Like a knight of the order of the Holy Juggalos.
I feel like it has to be, and not that Scrubby Josh isn't a great nickname, but like, I feel like if you suplex Sasquatch, you have to get a nickname that would somehow reference that. You're
at least Squatchy Josh.
God damn, I want to be Squatchy Michael, though. You know? I'm going to suplex Sasquatch.
We'll get our hand on the ball for sure. Like, I'll get like a late kick in once after the suplex goes down. All right, Michael, you got any other fun stories for me, buddy?
Man, I don't know. That was so good.
I feel like we should just end the episode, to be quite honest. Let's see.
You want to talk about blueberry porn?
When do I not want to talk about blueberry porn, Michael? It's either that or the Meghan Trainor PR email, which I don't necessarily know if I can stomach. So, yeah, go for it.
You sent me this article, but I don't think you've read it. And I've only started to glance over the first couple paragraphs, and it gets a little racy. So, put on your listening pants or take off your listening pants.
The blueberry porn story gets a little racy.
Most stories in the blueberry porn genre begin the same way. A woman eats an unusually delicious piece of candy.
Wait, that's the actual first sentence of this article? Yes. Are you kidding me? Oh, God.
She starts to feel a little funny, maybe a little bloated. As she chews, her transformation into a piece of fruit becomes unstoppable. Her thighs, breasts, and belly start to swell to cartoonish proportions, ripping her clothing as her juice-filled body swallows her arms and legs. Squeeze me, she might plead, begging the onlooker to relieve the pressure that's built up in her gurgling, swollen, bluish form. The berry girl is rendered helpless by her round, overfull state at the mercy of the onlooker.
I regret sending this
She sloshes to you. And rolls, confused at what's happening, but not altogether repulsed by it. That's the article. That's the beginning of the article, not the beginning of the
article. This article is already the front runner for the Bad Sex in Fiction Award. Even though this is, I guess, technically nonfiction. Thanks a lot, motherboard. Jesus. But Samantha Cold, number one with a bullet, she is already the worst writer for Bad Sex in Fiction.
Yeah. And the disturbing thing is that apparently it's a subgenre that kind of includes several other kinks. It combines force feeding, expansion, or inflation porn, as well as elements of bondage and submission. I did not know that expansion or inflation porn using air, water, enemas, or food was... I mean, I guess I should have imagined it was a thing.
I kind of just thought it was how one of the guys died in Seven. Like, that was the only... That was the, oh, my goodness.
It turns out Seven is a porn to some people.
It's got seven kinks all wrapped up, maybe more. Not even looking at the, how do you discover if inflation porn is your thing?
You watch Willy Wonka and...
Oh my God. If just like, yeah, turns you on, I'd like to get a piece. No, I can't even say that out loud because it's a fucking kid doing that.
Well, right, but you watched it when you were a kid and you were like, for some reason, I don't know what this is, but like all of a sudden I'm really happy.
Apparently part of this is also an element of caretaking tenderness. So like if you have to, you get off on taking care of someone who's blown up to the size of a blueberry and you have to roll them around. Like that's part of it too.
Very importantly though, you said blown up to the size of a blueberry.
Oh,
that
I
would
meant
be shrunk down to a size of a blueberry, but they blew
I meant
up.
I meant a big old a blueberry.
A Beauregard berry. What it says, for many, watching it as children themselves, meaning that scene in Willy Wonka, this surreal preteen berry girl was their gateway to a lifelong kink.
God, I mean, we've talked before about that moment where it hits you. But can you, and like, I guess this probably goes to a lot of different things, but like the loneliness of thinking like, well, that big blueberry girl is what I'm into. Fuck. How? I mean, like, and not knowing. God, there's a picture of someone just dressed as a gigantic blueberry with her face painted blue and her hand sticking out of a gigantic blue and like navy blue balloon.
Did you see the tweet?
No. Let me see.
Oh my God, the picture's even better. Holy shit.
Okay. Oh, okay. This is even more ridiculous because it takes an Overwatch character, which is his own full genre of porn, and then turns it into blueberry Overwatch porn. Oh boy.
Look, not to king shame. That's fine. If that's your thing, yeah, it's not, fine.
No, but yeah, do it for sure. For sure.
Yeah.
Michael, can I? I think the same thing about a number of other sort of like habits, I guess. Like smoking, obviously, I have a little bit of this with, you know, how much wine I drink, but like, I'm looking at this woman who's in what has to be a custom 12-foot inflatable blueberry suit with her hand makeup and face makeup, and she's in a garage, presumably a personal garage. How do you afford to do anything else if you are just financing your gigantic blueberry porn kink?
Did she make it herself? It'd be impressive if she did.
That would be, it looks, yeah, it'd be a lot of industrial sewing, some pressure. I
how do they feel about those inflatable mascots that run around?
I mean, how do they feel about, like, inflatable yard dragons? They probably hate them. Or love them. I don't know. Oh, I'm scared to find out. Yeah, I've got no, probably by most standards, weird shit to finance and just like pursue, and I can't afford to get ahead in life. Like, what are these people doing?
I mean, do you need more than one suit though? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You just need the one.
I guess a very good dry cleaner. gross. Yeah, I mean, I
just wish I could see inside of this. I want to see what's happening on the inside. Like,
you want to see inside that giant blueberry. I do want to know if there's like an exo
out. Like, it doesn't.
I do want to know if there's like an exoskeleton inside. I guess an endoskeleton in there. It would have to be.
There's got
to
be something in there, right?
I do need to know if it's like getting into an Iron Man suit that just like inflates this giant bubble around you. And does it have missiles? I'm curious now.
What? I guess where do we where do we stop calling things just fetishes? Because, like, a fetish, okay, you have, like, foot fetishes or whatever. You have, like, food fetishes. Like, I don't want to use the word normal, but, like, your traditional fetishes that are, like,
vanilla.
Yeah, they're pretty vanilla. Like, how bad does a fetish have to get, or how big does a fetish have to get in specific before it's just like, this might be, like, an actual psychological problem you have.
Yeah, that's kind of like, I don't want to, and we're definitely not equipped to handle this conversation, but like, we mentioned we don't want to kink shame, and I think we've been certainly previously better about that, but like, at what point also is it okay to be like, hey, if five little people made up in orange makeup rolling a child who's inflated to the size of like, I don't know, I can't even, a Volkswagen, rolling her around is what it takes for you to get it, like, I don't know if that's okay. Like, like, sorry. And I don't want to I'm not going to shame it, but like, hey, no, you don't get this one.
I was just saying, we need another word though. Like, if you say you have a kink or a fetish, people are thinking like, oh, you like to get handcuffed or like you want to rub someone's feet or something. Like, if you're like,
you
I have
Vicks
a kink
Vapo rub on when you, yeah, no,
like if I have a kink and it's like, oh, I would like for you to dress up like a 12-foot blueberry and paint yourself blue and then just wobble around for me. Like, that's a whole different category, I think, right? I just want people to be prepared, is all I'm saying. Yeah. I feel like we need a separate category, like kinks, fetishes, and then there should be like a, there's something over there, right?
Yeah, just some sort of like outer limits bullshit. Yeah, I just don't know. Like fringe cases. I don't know what the word. I'm not the wordsmith for this one, but I do feel like we all need a third category.
For others, the gurgling, churning of the juice inside the berry belly is a turn on. A community member who goes by JC19 told me.
Hold up. So these. Okay. So That's an increased level of complexity. There's gurgling and like sloshing of fluids. This is quickly becoming an Iron Man suit of weird sex. I need to interrupt the podcast real quick. This is I just saw a tweet. Woman Lizzie underscore Thompson on Twitter. This man in the seat across from me has taken, all caps, his pants off for the flight and is just in his boxers. Flight attendants seem unconcerned. This is going to be a long flight. Air France from Charles de Gaulle International to LAX.
Flight attendants seem unconcerned that the man is just sitting in his box. Are you sure? Like, is it
just boxers? Like, there's a picture of this man's whole zone just out.
Okay, so I was thinking like maybe what she thinks is boxers is just like running shorts or something.
No, it's definitely like cheap Hanes boxers from Target.
It's not even like good.
Actually, and I will say a Target because it is in France.
Oh my god.
Yep, it's just his whole zone is out.
No, you what? No, you can't though.
You can't do that. I excuse some behavior. I mean, I was when I came back from Tokyo a couple years ago, I was lucky enough to have the bulkhead exit row seat, and a man did full on yoga right in front of my face, once every 2 hours for 9 hours straight.
You know, you got to make sure that your legs don't get like an embolism or whatever it is.
Exactly, and I'm fully supportive.
Sure.
I can't imagine. I mean, people taking their shoes off is close to the borderline for me.
On a 9-hour flight, you have to, though.
That's fine. Yeah. I've had people fart uncontrollably on flights. Oh, by the way, he did also take his socks off. Shoes and socks off.
I mean, look, here's the thing. If you're going to do that, that's fine. Just wear actual shorts underneath it. It's not that hard to wear shorts underneath your pants.
Yeah. Apparently, a man boarded after him carrying a ukulele, which is also worthy of questions. And this man across from her shouted, "Come sit with me and make some music."
Is he high and or drunk? Where are they coming from and to?
I see a lot of things, like a lot of news articles where the police are called on people in planes. And if this doesn't like trigger an immediate arrest, I honestly don't know what would on a flight. Like, at least he's in boxers and not boxer briefs,
I guess. But at least boxer briefs, you know everything's going to stay contained. If it's boxers, if he doesn't have that button in the front, like, if he lifts up his leg weird, like, there's just jiggly bits hanging out.
It's a real Michael Cushing's dad sort of situation. He might as well be ducking it.
And here's the thing, like, if something did happen with this, if this guy did end up doing something on the flight, everyone would be like, well, yeah, he took off his fucking pants. We knew there was something wrong with him.
Yeah.
Like, you call the cops on people for, like, doing nothing at this point.
Yeah, so apparently she alerted the flight attendant, and he offered to move her, which would mean her losing her bulkhead legroom, which, no, thank you, and just shrugged when I suggested he ask the man to put his pants on. And what a laissez-faire attitude towards vis-a-vis pants.
I mean, you did say it was Air France, though.
It is Air France. And again, like, not to lean too far into what are the fucking French doing? What are they even up to over there? But, like, this has to be at least I'm doing the math, 13-hour flight? 12?
From Paris to where?
Paris to LA.
Oh, that's a long 12 one. Hour? Yeah, yeah.
It's at least 12 to 13 hours, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I can't imagine just even, like, knowing that guy's zone is just out over there.
Well, and he's sitting in a seat that somebody's going to have to sit in later, and there's literally nothing between his ass and the seat except for just a thin boxer.
Paper-thin parchment. And can I say this? If this is the kind of guy who's going to get on a passenger airline and pay to have the front row of this section and then take his pants off on the plane, this is definitely a kind of man who is going to do yoga in front of the entire section of the flight in his boxers. 100%. And by the way, they're not even like the cotton, like thick, like sort of like, they're just the shitty, just kind of like comfort shit. This guy didn't invest in his, he's not rocking MeUndies sponsor us. It's just some random like Hanes bullshit.
Yeah. He knew he was going to take his pants off and he made no effort. I mean, like, at least they don't have holes in them.
Yeah.
That we can see.
Like, if you know you're going to take your pants off, and apparently he did it casually enough that, like, he's done it before.
Are there people sitting next to him, though? Because this person's across the aisle.
Yes, he is. He has two people next to him. One appears to be maybe three people. There's at least one who appears to be a young woman with her feet up on the bulkhead in front of her, and then someone else next to them. So, yeah, There's a whole populace over there.
I just don't. And the picture you sent me, she's very clearly very, very slyly trying to take a picture. If a man was standing with his boxered ass towards me on an airplane.
Its face. I'm publicly shaming
you. Yeah, I'm taking a picture. I'm using Flash. I'm then going to, you know, put some Instagram messages on it. I'm going to ask for your handle so I can tag you.
Yeah, I am 100%. Even if you don't give me your handle, I'm posting you to Reddit so all those dipshits can track you down. Like, if they can find someone who, like, you know, killed a puppy or something, they will track you down. And you'll never be able to fly again. Like, this should be the real blacklist.
Yeah.
Like, sorry, you're not allowed.
You took off your pants on a plane. You're not allowed on a plane again.
Or within 100 feet of a school.
Definitely not. I'm just saying, this is a plane is a public place. You can't just take off your pants in the middle of a grocery store.
I mean, he is covered up, though. Not well and not good. And man, this guy's got a pancake, but I'll tell you that much for nothing.
That's true. It does say no shirt, no shoes, no service. It doesn't say anything about no pants. I've always thought that was a big oversight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's in the Constitution. You can't change it now.
Donald Duck's allowed, as long as you're wearing shoes on your flippers. Well, Michael, I think that's going to do it for us this week on Trends Little Places. Well, everyone, if you enjoyed this show... Oh, fuck, dude. It's episode 100.
Oh, yeah, shit. We talked about this literally before we started recording and then did not mention it.
Yeah, how did we goof that up?
We're bad at this sometimes.
We're bad at podcasts. Mm-hmm. I think it should have been, we actually haven't recorded an episode in like 3 weeks. So I think that kind of, I think it threw us off our game.
That's true.
Yeah, everyone, if you like this episode, clearly you hate the French and love vanilla sex. Good job on you. But yeah, you can find out more information at goodbuddymedia.com. You can also find out more information about our sister show, Longest Days of Our Lives, in which Michael and I and our good buddy Curtis, who occasionally joins us on Trends in Little Places, we are watching every single episode of the hit show 24, and we just started season 3 after a scooch of a hiatus.
Yeah.
But if you are at all interested in that show, if you like us three two goofballs, you'll definitely like that one. It's even if you've never seen 24, it's really just us making fun of it. So we are back to probably a biweekly cadence on that one. But episode 1 of season 3 just came out, so you're in a perfect position to start. We walk through minute by minute, so you'll never be unaware. You'll never be lost because we walk you through it. I don't know how words work. Michael, how else can people help us out?
You can help us out by finding or searching for Trends in Low Places or Longest Days of Our Lives on your podcast app of choice. And when you do, please subscribe. And if you'd be so kind to give us a rating and or a review, that would be very helpful. That is how you let other people know that we're cool and you should listen to us. The other way to do that is by finding us on social medias, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook at TILPcast. And following us there, retweeting us, sharing our posts, especially when we have a new episode. We appreciate everyone who does that and encourage everyone else who isn't to go ahead and do that.
Yeah, for sure. Michael, you want a final shower thought?
I do.
Shower thought. Middle of the night water tastes so much better than normal water.
It does.
It's just the best. It's a real treat.
So good.
Michael, it's been lovely talking with you, buddy.
Love you.
Love you too. Toodles.